This morning on WCHL, UNC disputes the claims of illiteracy among student-athletes.
I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
We'll bring you the latest report of flu-related deaths here in North Carolina.
It's pretty much on track as to what it was last year.
And an expansion in the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system means relocation for some families. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the Carolina women returned to the hard Woods last night for their third straight impressive ACC win. Plus, we'll get you ready for the men's attempt to rebound from an 0-3 start in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And
boo-hoo, it's the Broncos who win Sunday and move on to the Super Bowl.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
32 degrees in Chapel Hill, 707 at WCHL. A little bit on the chilly side today. We expect a lot of sunshine, though, and a nice day. High today in the low 50s. Mary Willingham says her research privileges at the university have been revoked. WRAL is reporting that Willingham has been asked to reapply for research privileges and that she plans to do so. Willingham was quoted in a CNN article January 8th as saying there's an alarming amount of illiterate student-athletes at UNC. The university released data on Thursday afternoon that disputes the claims in the CNN article. Let's get more into that story now. UNC has responded to the CNN article that questioned the literacy levels of student-athletes with data of its own. 97% of UNC student-athletes met the CNN reading skills threshold. That's according to an 8-year admissions analysis produced by the university. The CNN article stated that a majority of Carolina student-athletes read at a level no higher than 8th grade. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Steve Farmer, UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, following the release of the data. When asked if the university's data was incompatible with Willingham and CNN's findings, Farmer offered this.
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim. I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
You can hear the complete interview with Steve Farmer, UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Mary Willingham, who is currently employed at UNC as a clinical instructor and academic advisor, and as we said, she has had her research privileges revoked for now. She previously worked as an athletic tutor. She spoke to CNN based on her encounters with Carolina athletes and is the source of the claims about the university. Willingham researched the reading levels of 180 UNC football or basketball players from 2004 through 2012. She said that she found that 60% read between 4th and 8th grade levels. Based on the information she provided, CNN reported that between 8% and 10% of athletes read below a 3rd grade level. The article stated that, according to academic experts, the threshold for being college literate is a score of 400 on the SAT critical reading or writing test. On the ACT, that threshold is 18. Released on Thursday, Carolina His Office of Undergraduate Admissions used CNN's definition to analyze UNC's own SAT and ACT data for special talent student-athletes enrolled as first-year students through policies and procedures established by the UNC Board of Trustees, faculty, and the Admissions Office. UNC's analysis found that between 2004 and 2012, the same time period examined by CNN, Carolina enrolled 1,377 first-year student-athletes through the special talent policies and procedures. More than 97% of those students met the CNN threshold. 39 students, fewer than 3%, did not. 23 of those 39 students, or 87%, who did not meet the CNN threshold either graduated from the university, remain enrolled and in good academic standing, or left the university with academic eligibility to return. UNC's data also stated that of the student-athletes who enrolled between 2004 and 2012 under the special talent policies, 341 were recruited for football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. More than 90%, or 307 of those students, met the CNN threshold, according to UNC. 34 students recruited for football, men's basketball, and women's basketball did not meet that threshold. Of that group, 20 students either have graduated from the university or remain enrolled in good academic standing. The data was released hours after UNC Chancellor Carol Folt issued a response to the CNN article. A week after all of this came out, Chancellor Folt responded, saying the allegations are being reviewed and that the claims don't add up so far to the preliminary figures in UNC's records. Now, here's part of Chancellor Folt's statement. She wrote to the campus community on Thursday saying that, quoting here, "Carolina's recent academic and athletic improprieties shook our university to its core, but the woes continue." On January 8th, UNC reading specialist Mary Willingham was featured in that CNN article saying she was concerned about the number of student-athletes that were unable to read at a college level. Chancellor Folt cited that in 2012 and 2013, of the 321 student-athletes admitted and referenced in the CNN article, only two had SAT and ACT scores lower than the first-year standards. She said that those two students are currently in good academic standing. She said the investigation into the literacy of these students is a lengthy process, but that it's ongoing. She asked the community for patience and understanding during the process and assured everyone that the truth will be explained. To read the letter from Chancellor Folt, you can find a link to it through the story on our website, chapelboro.com. Again, that was a response from the chancellor before academic numbers were released. The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Mandarin Chinese dual language program will expand at Glenwood Elementary next year. But that means 76 families must be moved to other schools to eliminate overcrowding. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board voted 6-1 last night to expand the Mandarin dual language program at Glenwood Elementary and keep access to the program open to all students in the district via a lottery system. Board Vice Chair Mia Burrows said the value of dual language education extends beyond the local community.
I consider it a gift to the country, frankly, to have bilingual and multilingual children, and particularly in Mandarin.
The vote means 76 families at Glenwood will need to be redistricted to alleviate overcrowding due to growth in the dual language program and increased enrollment in the school's attendance zone. More than 100 parents turned out last night to ask the school board to put to rest the recent uncertainty about the future of the Mandarin program. But parents differed widely on what they saw as the best solution. Those with students in the Mandarin program touted the merits of dual language education. Pam Caswell told the school board the program has changed the way her son approaches learning.
There is a rumor that it serves only the 156 most high-achieving students, and I am here to tell you different. My son did not enter Glenwood above average. He has become a high-achieving student because of the daily effort that we put into his studies.
But parents outside the program argued it costs too much and serves too few. Heather Kumnick labeled it an unnecessary expense in a tight budget year.
When I'm sending in hundreds and hundreds of dollars of supplies because in October teachers are out of copy paper and my daughter's art class doesn't have pencils or erasers and my child's kindergarten class doesn't have glue sticks, how can we continue to pour money into something that serves such a small percentage of the population?
School board members cautioned against singling out any one program for cuts and reiterated their support for expanding Mandarin dual language, saying expansion of the program will lower per pupil expenses. Again, Mia Burrows.
The reason we expanded is not only did we think this was a really important program, was to bring the cost down. You need to make the program load-bearing. You need to fill those classrooms so there aren't extra small classrooms in fourth and fifth grade.
But the board wrestled with how and where the program should grow. In the long term, the district could open a new dual language magnet that would house the Mandarin program. But for now, any expansion means non-dual language learners will need to be redistricted to make room for new Mandarin students. Board members also struggled with the purpose of the program, noting it's evolved from instruction to help those with limited English to more of an immersion program for English-speaking students. Annetta Streeter said it's not fulfilling the purpose it was meant for.
I am very much disappointed that what was intended to be a support for students who are not native English speakers, it is no longer that. So that brings up another concern, is that are we doing what we're supposed to be doing to support students who actually do need consistent instruction and intervention to acquire English?
And though the board settled on a short-term solution that eases Glenwood's overcrowding for next year, there's no clear consensus on what to do with the Mandarin program in the long term. Board members agreed to hire a consultant to examine the long-term options for the program with an eye toward implementing a solution by 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Five more people have died from the flu here in North Carolina, bringing the total number of influenza-related deaths to 27 for this flu season. That's according to the State Department of Health and Human Services. The recent deaths occurred between January 5th and January 11th. Pam McCall, Director of Personal Health Services for the Orange County Health Department, said that the number of deaths is not unusual at this stage of the flu season.
We actually had a total of 59 flu deaths last year in North Carolina. This time last year, the number of deaths was 35. So it's pretty much on track as to what it was last year.
The state announced the first reported child flu death on Monday. The Center for Disease Control recommends that people 6 months and older get vaccinated for the flu.
Recommended for parents or family members of young children is for everybody in the family to get a flu vaccine in order to help protect that infant who is too young to get the vaccine.
McCall said it's not too late for people to get their annual flu shots, but it does take 2 weeks for the shot to become effective and for the antibodies to develop in your body. The vaccine protects against various strains of flu virus circulating this year, including H1N1. It's available in shot form, of course, and also in nasal spray. Flu season runs from September until around March. The number of cases typically peaks in January or February. McCall said if you do come down with the flu, the antiviral medication Tamiflu can reduce the severity and duration of symptoms. WCHL News Time, 7:17. Coming up for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. What a concept! Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is the inimitable Rand Northam.
Well, I've just got to say first, Ron, I hope that whoever was hacking up a lung in that Chapel Hill Carver City School story is doing okay, doesn't have the flu, and is feeling better this morning.
Yeah, you never know what those mics are going to pick up sometimes.
Hope you're feeling better this morning.
Yeah, really.
15501 northbound, excuse me, southbound, actually, just changed over. 15501 southbound between NC 54 and Manning Drive, seeing a small delay right now, just minor to moderate at this time. Otherwise, things are really moving smoothly. I-40, the Durham Freeway, NC 54, the rest of 15501, MLK, Estes, and Franklin Street, not reporting any additional delays, no accidents out there right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
And Rand, how about you come back in about a half an hour and give us another report?
I will put it in my calendar.
All right, thanks very much. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast. Wouldn't you like to have a cup right now? It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. It is 32 degrees in Chapel Hill, right there at that threshold, right there at the freezing point this morning. Mostly sunny today, high today in the low 50s. Going to start out a little bit chilly, but no problems out there that we know about with ice and that sort of thing. But again, a rather pleasant day today. Tonight, partly cloudy, isolated sprinkles possible this evening. It's going to be cold with a low all the way down to 25. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunshine, much cooler with a high only in the upper 30s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and cold with a low at about 25 again. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny, not as cool with a high in the upper 40s. It is a holiday weekend. And on Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's going to be sunny with a high in the middle 50s. That's your weather forecast over the next couple of days, and actually, it's not really too bad.
Wake up with Ron Stutz, and remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
7:19 at WCHL. North Carolina State employees are gathering again in a downtown Raleigh church to remember the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and honor a state worker for improving their community and race relations. The annual State Employees King Observance Service was scheduled for midday today. Governor Pat McCrory planned to attend and speak. He'll also present the John R. Larkins Award, one of state government's highest honors. King was assassinated in 1968. To Wednesday marked the 85th anniversary of King's birth. The federal and state holiday is, of course, Monday. This is the first King State Employees event since the North Carolina General Assembly passed and McCrory signed into law an elections overhaul bill that, in part, requires photo identification to vote in person. Lawsuits allege the law harms the voting rights of minorities. and news around town today. Beginning Saturday, Justice United is holding a week of prayer on the affordable housing issue in congregations all across Orange County. Seven different congregations are already on board to participate, including St. Thomas More, Gehillas Synagogue, and the United Church of Chapel Hill. Clergy will take the affordable housing issue to their congregations, discuss how their community should respond, and try to identify members who are struggling with housing costs. Pastor Richard Edens of the United Church of Chapel Hill is helping to coordinate the effort. He says the issue affects the strength of local congregations as the rising cost of housing is driving longtime members out of the area. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is Monday. Most municipal offices will be closed, and Chapel Hill residential trash is usually picked up on Mondays, will be picked up on Wednesday instead. Orange County's curbside recycling schedule won't change, though. So if your recycling gets picked up on Mondays, it'll still be collected on Monday, the 20th. Chapel Hill Transit will operate on a Saturday schedule on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Orange Public Transportation will only run its Chapel Hill dialysis routes. The U.S. Post Office on Estes Drive will also be closed for the holiday, but to compensate, it will open a half hour early on Saturday, opening at 9 o'clock instead of 9:30. If you'd like more information on holiday schedules for the town of Chapel Hill, visit townofchapelhill.org/holiday. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. More good news today to report on the Carolina women's basketball team. They're on a roll. Carolina took down Clemson last night in Chapel Hill for a third straight ACC win. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a recap.
The number 9 North Carolina women's basketball team defeated the Clemson Tigers 78-55 at Carmichael Arena Thursday evening to improve to 15-3 overall and 3-1 in the ACC.
Washington hands it off to Gray, who comes in motion to the top of the circle, kicks it outside to Diamond to Shields. Three-pointer is in there. After struggling so much this season, Diamond to Shields broke out against Florida State on Sunday with four three-pointers, and she hits her first one of the night here.
After a somewhat sluggish start, Carolina's offense got going as Diamond DeShield's shot started falling and Stephanie Mavunga's inside force was put on full display.
Pickup of energy for the Tar Heels when they needed it down early in the first half. DeShields spots up for a jumper, no good. Mavunga rips the rebound away from Gramblich. Spin move down to the low block and scores the layup. UNC stretches the lead now to 6, 25-19.
The Tar Heels had pulled away from the Tigers by halftime and continued to dominate the second half of play with shots like this one from Jessica Washington.
And Gray redeems herself by getting in there for the rebound. Pushes it forward to Washington, who goes straight to the rim. Latifa Coleman style scores it and draws the foul.
Diamond DeShields with 24 points and Alicia Gray with 16 points led the way for Carolina in scoring as they delivered an impressive performance on Throwback Thursday. With the loss, Clemson dropped to 9-9 on the season and 1-3 in conference. ACC Player of the Week Nikki Dixon just wasn't enough to overcome the dynamic play of Carolina's talented youth. After the game, Associate Head Coach Andrew Calder said he hopes Head Coach Sylvia Hatchell will be back on the court very soon.
I'd like to again thank Coach Hatchell. She took her back in the hospital today for some more treatment, and our prayers are continuing to be with her. And hopefully we can get her back out here on the court as soon as possible.
Coach Calder says he was happy with the way Carolina shared the basketball and fought for rebounds. UNC out-rebounded Clemson 40-25.
As far as the basketball game goes, did a lot of very good things in the basketball. I think we shared the ball. I thought we had a couple of unforced turnovers that we got to improve on. But we did have more assists than turnovers, and that's our goal. We did shoot 55% from the floor, and we out-rebounded them 40-25.
Sophomore Zelina McDaniel said she thought the intensity on defense helped aid the offensive explosion for the Tar Heels.
I mean, once we see that we're falling behind by a pretty good amount, then it's like, y'all, we really have to pick it up. Like, we can't play with them anymore. Like, you know, we just have to pick it up. And then, I mean, once we pick it up, then we play some pretty good defense, which makes our offense start to flow.
Next up for Carolina is a trip to Boston College for a 1 p.m. meeting on Sunday. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news this morning from the world of sports, women's basketball last night, Trisha Liston scored 21 points and tied her career high with a dozen rebounds, leading number 3 Duke to a 90-55 win over Virginia last night. 90-55 again, the final score there. Markeisha Gatling shot 8-for-8 from the field for 20 points last night. Number 20 North Carolina State beat number 17 Florida State 80-57. And in high school basketball action tonight, Chapel Hill Tigers boys basketball team could head into the weekend in clear control control of second place or drop to third as they host the Southern Spartans tonight. The Tigers will have to rebound from a 25-point beating from their Big 8 foe Orange Panthers last week, 72-47. Ouch. That game kept the Panthers' conference record clean at 5-0. Tigers fell to 4-1. Southern also holds a 4-1 record, with their loss being handed up by Orange, 75-65 in the very first game of 2014 for both schools. The Tigers average less than 50 points a game. Tune in to pregame coverage of the Tigers and the Spartans coming up tonight at 6:30 on 97.9 FM and chapelboro.com. Rand Northam will have the call alongside Paul Connell. Tip-off time is 7 o'clock tonight right here on WCHL. Hope you'll be listening for that. And, of course, tomorrow the Carolina men's basketball team is at home in the Smith Center taking on Boston College. We will have the game for you, and we'll preview it next hour right here on WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Boo-hoo, it's the Broncos who win Sunday and move on to the Super Bowl. This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Dan Shaughnessy, the great columnist for the Boston Globe, wrote this week that the New England Patriots will lose Sunday in the AFC Championship game at Denver. He says the Peyton-Brady Bowl will go to the Broncos because simply they have too many weapons and are playing at home. Trying not to induce threats on his life, Shaughnessy clearly stated that was only his opinion. Unfortunately, as a lifelong Patriots fan, I have to agree with him. It doesn't mean I won't be squirming, pacing, shouting at the TV, and doing everything in my powerless existence to help Brady pull out yet another victory over Peyton and move on to his sixth Super Bowl. I just think the deck is stacked too much this time against my team. The Broncos have more receivers than the Pats have D-backs. Both NFL Final Four games should be great, with the red-hot 49ers playing the Seahawks in Seattle for the NFC title. This one is even tougher to figure than the Pats-Broncos because San Francisco seems to be on the uptick, while Seattle is not as dominating as was earlier in the season. Youngsters Colin Kaepernick versus Russell Wilson make it such a contrast to the first game. Despite Seattle's deafening home crowd, I still like the Niners to reach a second straight Super Bowl. Chances are I'll be too depressed to watch that game after what will be a classic matchup of the older elite quarterbacks. Tom Brady owns the head-to-head record against Peyton Manning. And of course, Tom Terrific has three Super Bowl rings to one for the ageless wonder in orange. Even though Manning is the bitter rival Sunday, I admire how he has come back from a serious neck injury and marvel how the Broncos' offensive line never lets any defender near him when a full-speed sack from a certain angle could end his career. The game may not be the aerial circus so many of these matchups have been, since both teams want to run the ball and keep the other quarterback off the field. The faster one team scores means the more possessions and more chances for either Brady or Manning to go to work. So it will be a chess game, with both playing conservatively most of the time while looking for a weakness to attack with passes over the top. Regrettably, I think that's where the Broncos will wind up at the end. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hi, this is Roy Williams. One of the principles of good basketball is good rebounding. Without it, you'd never win a game. Even the greatest basketball players miss some shots, but rebounding is like having great insurance. Make sure you're prepared to rebound against life's unforeseen losses. For more than 30 years, the Seagro's Nationwide Insurance Agency has been a winner. Ted's not much of a basketball player, but you'll be glad that he's on your team.
Let Ted, Pete, and Amy protect your family. The Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency, a 30-year winning record for on-your-side service.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic Southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do box breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
All right, it is 7:30 at WCHL, and time to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. And it's brought to you by your friends at the Carolina Inn. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine, right there on the UNC campus. 32 degrees in Chapel Hill, 31 this morning in Carrboro, also 32 in Borough. Mostly sunshine today. A good day on the way. High today in the low 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy. A chance of some light sprinkling activity tonight. It's going to be cold with a low down in the middle 20s. And then tomorrow, a sunny day, but much cooler with a high of only about 38 degrees. So get ready for the chill coming this weekend.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
Changed. We'll hear more about that today from President Obama.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Obama will move to end the NSA's ability to keep the phone call records of millions of Americans. A senior official tells CBS News the president will stop short of saying where that data should be kept. He'll call on Congress and the intelligence community to decide, but the official says Mr. Obama will end the program as it currently exists. And a court finding will be needed before the government can use that massive phone call database.
Juan Zarate is CBS News national security analyst. If the NSA no longer gets to keep the surveillance data, who gets it?
The reality is there is no clear option at this point. You could have the telephone companies keep it, but there's no legislation that requires retention beyond a certain point. You could have some third party, a clearinghouse, keep the data, but that doesn't exist, and it's not clear that that would be any safer for privacy and civil liberties.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
32 degrees, 732 at WCHL. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Mary Willingham says her research privileges at UNC have been revoked. Multiple media outlets are reporting that Willingham has been asked to reapply for research privileges by the Institutional Review Board. She says she plans to do that. Willingham was quoted in a CNN article January 8th as saying there is an alarming amount of illiterate student athletes at UNC. The university released data on Thursday afternoon that disputes those claims in the CNN article. And 97% of UNC student-athletes met the CNN reading skills threshold, according to an eight-year admissions analysis produced by the university. The CNN article stated that a majority of Carolina student-athletes read at a level no higher than eighth grade. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Steve Farmer, UNC's director of undergraduate admissions, following the release of that data.
Walk us through the numbers that the office released today and how they're in response to the numbers that were released earlier that were talked about by the CNN article?
Well, a couple things. One is that we actually didn't release any numbers that were talked about by the CNN article. CNN did not ask the university, didn't ask the Office of Undergraduate Admissions for any data at all about enrolling student-athletes. So we read the story and we were a little puzzled because the claims that were being made in the story didn't square with the admissions data that we had on file for student-athletes. So what the CNN article did was purport to look at a cohort of students enrolling between 2004 and 2012. And the article said that it had gone out and consulted experts, it did name the experts, and it determined a threshold for being college literate. And so we went out and we applied the CNN standard, the CNN threshold, to all of the student athletes who had enrolled at the university between 2004 and 2012. And you already mentioned it, what we found is that more than 97% of those students met the CNN threshold. I'd read the claim that 60% of students were reading at this level, 10% were reading at that level. We just wanted to go out and gather the facts.
So that's the CNN threshold, which is 400 on the SAT, reading and writing, and a 60, I believe, on the ACT. Now, do you have any specific information as to like where the average range is? Is it? And we know it's for that 97%. It's above 400, but is it above 500? Is it above 600? Where does the range lie?
I don't know anything about the average among the 97% of the 1338. We didn't calculate it.
So the average, that's the SAT. That's the average score for all student athletes. How about for the revenue sports, football, men's basketball, and women's basketball
team? Well, what we found is that we had 341 football, men's basketball, and women's basketball players in the cohort between 2004 and 2012. And what we found is that more than 90% of these students, 307 of the 341, met the threshold that CNN defined for being college literate.
What is the average score? And I mean, this is for students who were enrolled through the special talent policies and procedures. What is the average SAT score for any student just in general admitted to Carolina?
About 1,300.
Okay. And the other question that I had was looking at the earlier article, the CNN article, and other reports on it. You mentioned this already, the allegation that 60% of UNC football basketball players during that stretch read between a fourth and an eighth grade level, 8% and 10% read below a third grade level. Are these numbers incompatible with that?
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim.
Okay.
I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim. And again, the thing I'd emphasize, too, we're looking only at test scores here. When we consider candidates for admission, whether they're student-athletes or whether they're anyone else who's applying, we feel that we owe them a detailed and thorough, a comprehensive, an individualized evaluation.
That is WCHL's Aaron Keck speaking with UNC Director of Undergraduate Admissions, Steve Farmer, yesterday. To hear the full interview, you can read the story on our website at chapelboro.com. The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Mandarin Chinese Dual Language Program will expand at Glenwood Elementary next year. That means that 76 families must be moved to other schools because of overcrowding. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board voted 6-1 last night to expand the Mandarin Dual Language Program at Glenwood Elementary and keep access to the program open to all students in the district via a lottery system. Board Vice Chair Mia Burrows said the value of dual language education extends beyond the local community.
I consider it a gift to the country, frankly, to have bilingual and multilingual children, and particularly in Mandarin.
The vote means 76 families at Glenwood will need to be redistricted to alleviate overcrowding due to growth in the dual language program and increased enrollment in the school's attendance zone. More than 100 parents turned out last night to ask the school board to put to rest the recent uncertainty about the future of the Mandarin program. But parents differed widely on what they saw as the best solution. Those with students in the Mandarin program touted the merits of dual language education. Pam Caswell told the school board the program has changed the way her son approaches learning.
There is a rumor that it serves only the 156 most high-achieving students, and I am here to tell you different. My son did not enter Glenwood above average. He has become a high-achieving student because of the daily effort that we put into his studies.
But parents outside the program argued it costs too much and serves too few. Heather Kumnick labeled it an unnecessary expense in a tight budget year.
When I'm sending in hundreds and hundreds of dollars of supplies because in October teachers are out of copy paper and my daughter's art class doesn't have pencils or erasers and my child's kindergarten class doesn't have glue sticks, how can we continue to pour money into something that serves such a small percentage of the population?
School board members cautioned against singling out any one program for cuts and reiterated their support for expanding Mandarin dual language, saying expansion of the program will lower per pupil expenses. Again, Mia Burrows.
The reason we expanded is not only did we think this was a really important program, was to bring the cost down. You need to make the program load-bearing. You need to fill those classrooms so there aren't extra small classrooms in fourth and fifth grade.
But the board wrestled with how and where the program should grow. In the long term, the district could open a new dual language magnet that would house the Mandarin program. But for now, any expansion means non-dual language learners will need to be redistricted to make room for new Mandarin students. Board members also struggled with the purpose of the program, noting it's evolved from instruction to help those with limited English to more of an immersion program for English-speaking students. Annetta Streeter said it's not fulfilling the purpose it was meant for.
I am very much disappointed that what was intended to be a support for students who are not native English speakers, it is no longer that. So that brings up another concern, is that are we doing what we're supposed to be doing to support students who actually do need consistent instruction and intervention to acquire English?
And though the board settled on a short-term solution that eases Glenwood's overcrowding for next year, there's no clear consensus on what to do with the Mandarin program in the long term. Board members agreed to hire a consultant to examine the long-term options for the program with an eye toward implementing a solution by 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Congress has sent President Barack Obama a $1.1 trillion government spending bill that eases the harshest effects of last year's automatic budget cuts. The Senate on Thursday voted 72-26 for the measure, which cleared the House a little more than 24 hours before that. President Obama is expected to sign the bill in time to prevent any interruption in government funding Saturday at midnight. You'll hear more about that on CBS throughout the day on WCHL. 7:40 at WCHL. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Rand Northam about what's happening at our website, chapelboro.com. We also have today's commentary on the way from Professor Lou Margolis, and we will have all the usual stuff this half hour. Word of the day from Wayne Pond to expand our vocabularies. We have the clean joke of the day from Lauren Stafford in just a few minutes. And today's WCHL hometown hero is Kathy Porter. All of that on the way.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the newly opened restaurant and bar called Industry. It's half off. $20 worth of food available now for $10. Formerly known as The Standard, Industry now creates a warm, relaxing environment that is perfectly suited for casual dinner and drinks with family and friends. Industry doesn't get any more local. All four owners and operators are born and raised right here in Chapel Hill. Enjoy weekly specials and their new menu that includes starters, salads, sandwiches, and hand-tossed pizzas. It's half off from Industry. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Moe's Bottle Shop is all about discovery. We've got your go-to favorites, but you've got to believe Moe's knows of at least three other brews that will blow your mind. American craft beer is entering a new era, and we're out front. You can get at Moe's what you can't get anywhere else. Hundreds of different 12-ounce single beers for your six-pack pleasure. Go to mosbottleshop.com to find out who we are, where we are, what we do, and how it works. Moe's Bottle Shop in Hillsboro.
How would you like to drive a brand new Subaru for $179 per month? That's a brand new 2013 Subaru Impreza 2.0i premium for $179 per month. Wow! I'm Gerald Des Moines, General Manager of Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill, and I'm going to spend this first month in the new year redefining what makes us better than our competition. The performance promise, which is value, service, and people. Let's start with value. We will do whatever it takes to earn and keep your business. Lease a 2013 Subaru Impreza 2.0i premium for $179 per month. We also have rates as low as 0% for up to 36 months or as low as 0.9% for up to 63 months. Service, I'm just not talking about run-of-the-mill customer service. I'm talking about the wow. People, they're the foundation of who we are. Visit our virtual showroom at performanceacura@chapelhill.com.
Stock number D36-23, 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. 3,000 total down includes 1,300 Subaru lease cash and excludes 549 admin fee, taxes, and tag fee. Based on MSRP of $21,585 and selling price of $21,005. Financing with approved credit on select models. Take delivery before 2/4/14.
Performance Subaru.com.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ron.
Well, thank you so much. 7:43 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz. Rand Northam is here. And
keeping us doing it right.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Keeping myself doing it right, which is kind of a challenge sometimes. Hey, let me mention one thing that I just want to get off my chest here.
Ron, I wish you would.
Sometimes you hear in national news stories in particular, you hear a story about President Obama, Congress, whatever is going on. This has nothing to do with any specific story. And they refer to the president as Obama, just Obama. And this bothered me even when Bush was president. Mm-hmm. Bush said this. I think you ought to say, and I try to say, if I ever slip up on this, please catch me and tell me that I'm not doing it right, that you should say President Obama, mm-hmm. President Bush, President Reagan, whatever.
You know, to be completely honest, I take it, I don't know how far people like to take that, but I try to take it to the local level as well. Any story that I write, I will always reference Chancellor Folt, Mayor Kleinschmidt, Mayor mm-hmm. Lavelle, all the way down to our local leaders. So I think it's very important that I think you're exactly right.
I try to do that, and we have so many stories. You know, sometimes we might slip in the interest of time or whatever, or not really thinking about it. But you know, I just think it's kind of disrespectful to the office of the presidency of the United States.
Very much so.
To say Obama. You ought to say President Obama. Doggone it.
Yeah, you still need to be, no matter what you feel about the current president, you need to be respectful of him because really you are not talking about the president. You're not talking about Barack Obama. You are talking about the office of the president of the United States.
Exactly. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Thank you very much for letting me vent a little bit this morning. Well, what's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, of course, a lot has happened in the last 12 to 24 hours about UNC and the academics and the athletics and all that's going on, talking about admissions and the athletes and their the claim of illiteracy. Well, we've got Chancellor Folt's response on our website, chapelbro.com. That came out just before the actually came out yesterday morning. Then the data release came yesterday as to exactly what the numbers are for the athletes that have been admitted to UNC, and we've been telling you that story all morning. You can find that story there as well with the full interview from Steve Farmer in the admissions office at UNC. Also, Mary Willingham's research has been suspended. We've got that story on the website as well, and a link to that article from January 8th on CNN. So a lot that you can review and probably need to review, because hearing it in passing once will not necessarily let it sink in, because there's a lot going on.
It's a complicated story.
Also, the faculty council meets today at 3 o'clock. WCHL's Rachel Nash will be in attendance of that, and we'll have a story for you on that coming up this evening on our website, chapelbro.com. You can find that story on the WCHL Morning News tomorrow with Aaron Keck hosting the Saturday Morning News.
I'm left with one question. Sure. How can there be such a discrepancy in what people are saying?
Exactly. I think
my goodness.
I think this is another one where everyone just wants the answers, and it's not going to come quickly enough for everybody, but we'll get there.
And meanwhile, all this stuff at our wonderful university just goes on and on and
on. That's right. Well, I want to ask Chancellor Folt, how do you feel when another one of these comes up? I mean, it's just got to be very disheartening when, you think you're getting to the end of the AFAM scandal. You think you're getting to the end. You've got Julius Nangoro has been charged, and we're finally going to possibly hear something from him in court. And then this comes out,
and the bad
it just kind of starts all over again.
The bad thing about every little thing that comes out, it's like they rehash everything else that's gone before, and so it never leaves anybody's consciousness, I mean, come on, we're trying to fix it, let's move on.
That's right.
I'm tired of this stuff.
Well,
man, we need to get it right.
That's right.
But,
And we will continue to follow all of it here at WCHL and chapelbro.com. In our column section, Aaron Keck, who, of course, hosts the WCHL Afternoon and Evening News, he talks about this whole issue and says it's not about admissions.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to read that article in our column section on our website. Hoop It Up with the Heels, of course, ongoing as the men's and women's basketball teams are in ACC play now. The men's team looking for its first ACC win, and we'll see if they can get it tomorrow against Boston College. And the women doing fairly well, 3-1 now, a big win last night, and continuing to roll. So hopefully Sylvia Hatchell will be back soon to help the women out as well and coach them to an ACC championship. That would certainly be great to see.
Yes, it would.
So that and much more available on our website, chapelbro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
32 degrees this morning, a lot of sunshine today, 7:48.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. I hope that anyone connected with UNC in any way, faculty, students, staff, administrators, fans of its athletics teams, will agree without hesitation that death threats have no place in the university. And yet, shockingly, that is exactly what Mary Willingham, a learning specialist at UNC, has experienced. Why? Apparently because some people don't like her provocative analysis of educational readiness among some UNC football and basketball players. Based on analysis of educational testing data that the Department of Athletics provided and supplemented by her years of experience conscientiously working with UNC athletes, Ms. Willingham has asked and attempted to answer an important question. Namely, were some students admitted to be athletes at UNC even though there was little evidence of adequate academic preparation? Indeed, educational testing indicated that 8-10% of football and basketball players were reading at below a third grade level, far below the levels needed to engage meaningfully in a UNC education. We should applaud Mary Willingham for bravely and thoughtfully bringing these troubling findings to the attention of anyone who cares about the well-being of students, not to mention athletes at UNC. But let's be clear, whether one agrees or disagrees with her conclusions, whether one is a rabid UNC sports fan or ignorant of the harmful impact of big-time sports on the mission of UNC, death threats are unconscionable. Every UNC leader must stand up to denounce these death threats. In the face of death threats for engaging in scholarly work, the very essence of the university, every UNC leader should proudly announce, "I, too, am Mary Willingham." This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Time is running out to register to be one of our fourth annual Healthiest You Challengers presented by UNC Healthcare. Join WCHL and Chapelboro.com along with UNC Healthcare and the UNC Wellness Center at Metamont as we help another 64 challengers lose weight and get active and healthy. Each year, people just like you in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community have signed up to become as healthy as they can be. Visit Chapelboro.com/healthiestyou and submit your registration by Sunday at midnight. We'll randomly select our 64 challengers to make up our 8 teams. And each challenger will receive a free 6-week club membership at UNC Wellness Center, along with other great benefits. So visit chapelboro.com for more details and to sign up today. Hurry! Limited space is available to be part of the 2014 challenge. Thanks to our sponsors, UNC Healthcare, UNC Wellness Centers at Meadowmont and in Cary, Massage Envy Spa South Point, Chimneys Plus and Gutter Solutions, UPS Store Chapel Hill North, Fordham and Meadowmont, and Massage Envy Spa Eastgate.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and we're going to check in with Rand Norton and get the very latest on that.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic moving smoothly for the most part right now. NC 54 heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing a moderate to minor delays right now. Otherwise, things moving smoothly on the roadways. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather. It is rather chilly this morning, 32 degrees right now. And we look for a high today of about 52. A lot of sunshine on the way. It's actually going to be a nice day. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of a sprinkle or two. Cold, though, with a low in the middle 20s. And then tomorrow is sunny, much cooler with a high only in the upper 30s. Saturday night, clear skies, cold, low 25. And Sunday, mostly sunny, not as cool with a high in the upper 40s. Pretty good day for Martin Luther King Day on Monday as well. 7:52 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond is here. And Wayne, would you please deliver the word of the day?
Ron, it is my pleasure. And thank you for the ongoing support. I appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir. What you got for us today?
Hey, pal, you're a Shakespeare fan, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Or you're a fan of Shakespeare, or you like to read Shakespeare, you love to go to his plays?
Out, out, damn Wayne.
Well, that was uncalled for. Yeah. Now he's lowered the tone, so it'll be my turn next go around. Ron, tell me the meaning of the following word. Groundling. What is a groundling? Do you remember reading, if not Shakespeare himself, about Shakespeare? Who were the groundlings?
I have no clue.
Is Rand there?
No, he's in the other room.
We could draw on his high literary background. The groundlings were the people who had to sit at the feet of the actors. They weren't the snooty ones, the play-going audiences that sat up above in the upper gallery. The groundlings were the people who paid just a penny. It was the cheapest seat in the house. How else can I say it?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Groundling, a spectator who stands in the pit of a theater, and in this instance, an Elizabethan theater, and therefore a person of unsophisticated taste. Now, I'm not sure exactly how we make the leap from where you're standing to how smart you are, but we'll leave that to the logical experts, okay? Groundling, groundling, groundling is your word of the day. Mm. It is a noun, and again, in Renaissance England, a spectator who stood in the pit of an Elizabethan theater. Today, thanks to the to the beauties of the way language works. We've translated that into a person of unsophisticated taste. So, Ron,
yeah.
Now tell us about your affection for Shakespeare.
Well, I wish I could, but, you know, I could go on and on about that, and I don't have time. So,
but you're running out of time. Hey, pal,
exactly.
Have a good weekend.
Long time ago. Thank you, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:55.
97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. Please welcome to the show, Lauren Stafford.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
I'm so excited to see you.
And I'm so excited for the weekend.
We've been having so much fun with this clean joke contest.
We have.
And we're getting some good entries in here. I'm even more excited about the weekend.
I mean, we're excited about the joke. Don't get us wrong. But, yeah. You know, the weekend is also great.
Yeah, but let's do what we have to do now. And
all right.
Since we do this, we'll just leave.
Right. And we were
you want to do that?
Yeah, exactly. That sounds good to me. I mean, hey, as long as I tell the clean joke, right, my job's done. What
exactly.
Do
your
around?
Job's done. And I'll just leave, and maybe we can talk Rand into take it over. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like we do anything else around here.
Well,
so.
No. I just come in here for 3 hours every day, and then I go home.
And I just come in for 5 minutes.
That's what a lot of people think. A lot of people say that to me all the time. You go home at 9 o'clock, right? Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, apparently my title is Clean Joke Girl. So, you know, it's not like I actually have any other working time.
That's all you do.
That's all I do.
And you get paid handsomely for it.
Of course I do. Jump into my Ferrari outside and
you
speed off.
Yeah, I know. I borrowed it the other day. You got a good joke from somebody?
I do, from one of our favorites.
Who would that be?
Mae McClendon. Smile of the day, Mae McClendon. She
it's
sent
about
us.
Time.
Exactly. So she sent us a great joke to end the first week of our clean joke contest giveaway.
I've been writing Mae to try to get her to send some jokes because she does it all the time.
She does.
She may as well win something.
Exactly.
Or try.
Exactly. You know, a gift card. I mean, hello. Gift card. $100 in gift cards.
Exactly. You know? Well, what does she send?
All right.
Let's see how funny it is.
Sitting on the highway waiting to catch speeders. A state police officer saw a car puttering along at 22 miles per hour.
Oh, great.
He thinks to himself, that car is just as dangerous as a speeder.
And he would be right.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. I hate those. So he turns his lights on and pulls the car over. Approaching the car, he notices there are 5 old ladies.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
Kind of stereotypical. Okay. 2 at the front and 3 at the back, wide-eyed and looking like ghosts.
Uh-huh.
The driver, obviously confused, said, "Officer, I don't understand. I wasn't going over the speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" Ma'am, the officer said, "You should know that driving slower than the speed limit can also be dangerous." "Slower than the speed limit? No, sir. I was doing exactly 22 miles an hour," the old woman said proudly. The officer explains that 22 was the route number, not the speed limit.
Uh-oh.
A bit embarrassed, the woman grinned, thanking the officer for pointing out her error.
They were on Highway 22.
Exactly, they were on Route 22. Uh-oh. So the officer says, "Before I go, ma'am, I have to ask, though, is everyone okay? You know, everyone seems very shaken up."
Mm-hmm.
"These women seem badly shaken and haven't uttered a word this entire time I pulled you over." "Oh," she says, "they'll be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off Route 142.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro Weather, brought to you by your friends at Southern Rail. Mike Benson has the Benson Burger. You might want to check it out at Southern Rail, the station bar and beer garden, an eclectic mix there, plus the Tiger Room. Don't forget about that. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carboro. All right, it's going to be a mostly sunny day. High today in the low 50s. Right now, 32, a little bit on the chilly side, a little nippy. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, a slight chance of an isolated sprinkle this evening. It's going to be cold, too. Low tonight down around 25 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, much cooler, with a high only about 38, believe it or not. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, and then becoming mostly cloudy later in the overnight period. Cold temperatures, overnight low about 25. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny, not as cool, with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday night, or in Sunday, really pretty nice. Monday, we're looking at high in the middle 50s with a lot of sunshine on the way.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community.
Cyber attack. More than one target.
Retailers could be under attack right now and not even know it.
Southern California firefight.
The fire is about 30% contained.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. In just a few hours, President Obama unveils his overhaul of the government's surveillance network, prompted by the disclosures of widespread domestic web and phone eavesdropping. We're live at the White House with CBS's Peter Mayer.
And Steve, the president will...